Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Sherry Bayer from All in the Industry. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My weekly cleaning advice column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Esquire.com, and you should feel free to send your questions about cleaning or anything else, really, to JolieKerr@gmail.com. My guest today is New York Magazine's Maureen O'Connor. Hi, Maureen.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
We have a lot to talk about today.
So much.
You have a lot to tell me.
We always have too much to talk about.
We do. And I have to tell you, I realized something about you. So you are one of my favorite and most challenging guests. Because controlling you is hard.
Like, it's true.
You're like being able to stay on track in terms of the show outline.
I'm just wild
and
like
show
that.
Notes. It's very difficult when you're here, partly because you're very fun to talk to, and we are friends also, so we like to go off topic. But also, I realized a bigger reason why you're hard to control.
Okay.
You're a spoiled podcaster. So the last time Maureen was here was at the beginning of March, at the beginning of my bed making challenge, La Mob. And I put the challenge to Maureen, and today she's going to tell me how she did. And we're going to talk about some other bed making stuff. But we also mentioned in that show at the beginning of March that I was also a guest on her podcast, which is the New York Magazine's Sex Lives podcast, which you can subscribe to on iTunes. It's a Panoply production. It's wonderful. It was super fun being your guest.
We loved having you.
It was really great. I kind of wanted to do it every week. But here's what I realized. You guys go into the studio and you record for an hour, an hour and a half.
Like 20 minutes when we're done.
And then you have a producer who also edits your show into like a 30 to 45 minute gem of a show that cuts out all of your sort of off topic stuff.
Yeah.
And well, all of you went on tangents. I mean, and I went on tangents when I was with you, and it was great fun. I don't have that luxury.
I come into the studio
and I have 45 minutes to bang out everything I got to say, and what we record is what we record. So anyway, so that's why you're a challenge, but it's also always really fun. And I am very excited to hear how your personal bed making challenge went. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make you, this is how I've decided I'm going to control you.
Okay.
I'm going to make you wait. You can't tell me how you did.
Okay.
Until I have covered two incredibly important bed making topics that we didn't get to the last time we were here. But we're definitely going to get to today, which is the first thing is that 2005 BBC article that is like maybe my least favorite thing in the whole wide world.
Your nemesis?
Maybe. I mean, maybe like I hate genocide more than I hate this article. But other than that, like, just to give you a sense of how strongly I feel about this article, I get so furious about it. I get so furious about it. So I'm going to debunk the 2005 BBC article that claims that making the bed is unhealthy.
I know, and I was really clinging to that article.
Such
too.
Junk. It's such garbage. It's garbage time.
All right.
And then the other thing we're going to talk about, because it is related to sort of the crux of what that BBC article is about, is we're going to talk about the night sweats and what to do about your bed if you've like woken up in a puddle.
I have in my lifetime had night sweats.
Yeah.
It's an experience I've had, although I won't talk about it too much.
That's okay.
You know what else? It's because I'm really interrupty. I come from a family of interrupters. We just scream over each other all the time. It's what I'm used to.
It's fine, because the thing is, this is, you know, I mean, I always say this, but this is a conversational and freewheeling show. And it should and it should be, because part of the charm of Ask a Clean Person is the Q&A format.
Yes.
Which is the thing that makes it so relatable that, like, most people in this world have probably never and hopefully will never have a pound of butter explode in their car. But
the joy of hearing someone describe that.
But people still want to read the column about the person who had the pound of butter explode, because it's like funny and relatable. Like, we could all see that happening.
Could we?
Well, I mean, I don't have a car, so no, I couldn't.
But anyways, look, I'm getting you off track again.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Focus. All right.
We're going to talk about this BBC article.
Yeah.
This thing makes me so incredibly mad. So let me tell you, don't go read it. Don't Google it. Don't read it. Just skip it. You don't need it. There's this article that came out in the BBC in 2005. First of all, we need to talk about the fact that it is now 2016. This is an 11-year-old article. Based on a study that was done at the, I believe it was the University of Kensington. It's a UK study. Yeah. I'm sorry. Kensington University. A study performed by a researcher by the name of Dr. Stephen Pretlove, which is also so British.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Do we trust these Brits?
I don't trust Dr. Stephen Pretlove.
All right. Tell us more. What did Stephen Pretlove say?
So he conducted a study. The first important point to make about this is that the study was very specifically about dust mites. Dust mites are not inherently unhealthy for most humans. So the idea that cutting back on dust mites is going to make you a healthier person is garbage to begin with. Mm-hmm. The only instance in which people need to be worrying actively about dust mites are if you have a dust mite allergy, which those are rare, mm-hmm. or if you have respiratory problems like asthma, which is obviously less rare. However, if you do have an active dust mite allergy, or if you have a respiratory problem like asthma, the best way to control dust mites in your mattress, in your pillow, in your furniture, is to regularly launder your bedding, so your sheets, mm-hmm. To use a protective mattress cover and pillow protectors, or to regularly launder your pillows, and or to vacuum your mattress. So these are all fairly like low energy things. Like, vacuuming a mattress sounds kind of crazy. I realize that, but it's actually not. It's a very common thing to do.
A little like handheld.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Use a handheld, or you can use, you know, upholstery attachment on your regular, on your regular vacuum. So that is going to help you control.
So he was saying that if you don't do any of those things, a messy bed will have fewer dust mites.
No. He didn't mention those things at all. So now I have to get into what his theory is, because this is sort of point number two about this, is that what his claims are is that a humid environment encourages dust mites, the presence of dust mites. And that is true. That is true. What is not true is that leaving your bed unmade is going to alter humidity levels in any kind of significant way. First of all, it just doesn't stand up to reason. Mm-hmm. Okay. Humidity is caused by so many different factors. An ever so slightly damp bed when you wake up is not going to be affecting the overall humidity level in your room. If you want to control humidity levels, get a dehumidifier. That's the way to do it. So his claim is that if you leave the bed unmade, it will air out, it will dry out, and then therefore dust mites won't happen. It's a leap of logic that any rational person who can get beyond a sexy headline, and the headline's sexy. I mean, people.
Well, the headline's terrorizing too, because inevitably they have like one of those zoomed in pictures of a dust mite, and you're like, whatever that is, I don't want it.
Yeah, and they look terrifying, and they're really not. here's the thing about Sesame Mates. We all have them already. They're not a bug infestation. I think they also sound, especially like in this day and age when everyone is terrified of bed bugs all the time.
Yeah.
They sound like an infestation in a way that they're just not. They are present. They're present all the time. We are fine. Unless you have those two things, the active dust mite allergy or you have a respiratory problem, the presence of dust mites is not going to bother you at all. It might sound scary and gross, but it's not, and you're fine. If you do have those two things, there are much better things that you can do to control the presence of dust mites than leaving your bed unmade. Here's the other thing about this that's such malarkey to me.
Malarkey.
It's insane to think that leaving your covers in a heap on the bed is going to help them dry out faster than pulling them taut and smoothing them out.
Maybe if you're like saran wrapping your bed when you're making it.
Maybe. Anyway, I think it's garbage.
The great dilemma of all the British people who saran wrap their beds.
Yeah.
Folly.
Okay, so I think that more or less covers it before I start like frothing at the mouth in rage. I just get so mad over it. I do want to say, though, the idea of airing your sheets out is a good one.
Mm-hmm. What is again, the proper way to do such
again,
a thing?
Leaving your sheets in a heap is not going to help them air out. It's just not. So two things to suggest. For regular sleep moisture, right? So on a normal night that hasn't been too hot, or you haven't had a case of the night sweats.
You haven't peed the bed.
I mean, if you peed the bed.
You need to make that fucking bed.
You need to strip the bed and remake it. You need to strip the bed. You need to clean the mattress. You need to wash the sheets.
I usually just put my sheets in a heap after I pee in them, personally.
Yeah.
That was okay. Well, we were supposed to. Damn. Dr. Pretlove has led me astray.
So for regular days,
yes,
it's not a bad idea to, when you get out of bed in the morning, to not immediately make the bed. So first of all, I don't know anyone who like rolls out of bed and walks out the door, right? Oh, everyone.
Don't you know me, Jolie?
I mean, you have to stop to go pee and brush your fangs, right?
Oh, true. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I mean.
On a good day.
So yeah, I mean, like, you know, you get up, you got to go use the bathroom.
Okay, true. Yeah.
You got to brush your teeth. You got to like brush your hair if you're not showering. You got to put on clean underpants. You're putting on clean underpants, right?
I am putting on clean underpants. Okay. Right. I don't literally roll out of bed. And...
So I mean, there are all these things you do. This is at a minimum, this is a 10-minute process.
Yeah.
Right. To pee and brush your teeth.
Yeah,
that's 10
at
minutes,
least.
Right? Yeah. So at least 10 or 15 minutes. And that is me being like, you know, considering the outlier scenario in which someone is like running out the door as quickly
so
as they can.
Yeah.
Which doesn't
happen.
So most people get up, they shower, they do all that kind of stuff. So if you leave your bed making sort of for after, or maybe you've gotten out of the shower.
It's been aired out.
Yeah. Then like that 30 minutes is plenty of time for regular, you know, sleep level moisture sheets to dry out, air out, and then you go ahead and then make the bed. If you've had, let's say, a case of the night sweats, or if you just prefer for whatever reason to have exposed sheets during the day, there is a way to make the bed that leaves the sheets exposed, and that actually is a much better way of airing sheets out than leaving them in a heap in an unmade bed. So here's how you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take the pillows off the bed. You're going to pull back the covers and the top sheet, if you use one, down to sort of the foot of the bed. And you're going to pull the bottom sheet taut and retuck it.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the first step. Then you're going to pull, if you use the top sheet, you're going to pull the top sheet up taut, up to the head of the bed. You're also going to pull the covers up taut to the head of the bed. And then all together in one, you're going to take the covers and the top sheet, and you're going to fold them back on themselves.
Yes.
So you'll either fold them back on themselves halfway down the bed so that the portion that was up at the top, the head of the bed, is now down at the foot and they're folded in half. Or you can fold them down in thirds and fold them like two thirds of the way if you want to leave even more of that bottom sheet exposed. And what that's going to do is allow both the top and the bottom sheet to be exposed to air, dry out, air out, breathe, so on and so forth. It will still look quite nice because everything is taut and folded, and especially that pulling the bottom sheet taut in the morning thing. I think a lot of people probably don't do that part of it, and then it really does help to make like a nice, smooth-looking bed, and also feel so much better when you get back in it at night.
Yeah.
Because it has that sort of like freshly made bed feel to it. So that's how you're going to go ahead and make a bed if you want to expose the sheets. You do not need Dr. Stephen Pretlove to not make your bed at all because you think it's unhealthy. It's also, I mean, it's just illogical. It just doesn't.
Man, you fucking hate this guy.
I have written, because right, every year I do this bed making thing. This is the fifth year.
Yes.
And so every year I have to acknowledge this because every year someone is going to bring this up. And if, first of all, it's now gotten to the point of annoying for me to have to keep it, because it's the same point. I never have a new point to make. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But I know I have to address it because I know someone's going to come in and be like, oh, making, you should never make the bed. Some quack researcher in the UK told me not to.
I wonder
to.
If like someday you're going to meet him and you guys will either like have an intense face off or fall deeply in love.
No.
Could a romance like that exist?
No.
A man who doesn't believe in bed making and a woman who loves to make beds?
The mere thought of this man like makes my skin crawl.
Romeo and Juliet.
Like, I also like imagine, I imagine what his disgusting academic office must look like. Ugh, I just, ugh.
This is the beginning of your romantic comedy. I can just feel it.
It's not, Maureen. It's not. Don't you want better for me than some...
Maybe he's awesome.
Than some...
His name is Pretlove.
Than some schlub who doesn't make his bed. You're a grown-up. Make your bed. Speaking of which...
Uh-oh. Night sweats. No, wait, where are we?
Well, that's the night sweat. That's the night sweat thing.
Yeah.
That's how you make the bed if you have the night sweats. But,
okay.
Well, okay. So I was going to seg into letting you tell me all about your experience. But let's actually talk more about the night sweats.
Yes. So when I think night sweats, strip the bed like and wash them like every single time.
Every time,
it was just like
really?
Too like disturbing. Yeah.
Really? That's dedication.
That was a difficult time in my life.
Yeah. I mean, I will say...
They were triggered by an anxiety medication, so then I think I was, like, primed to be, like, going overboard every time.
Which also is a really cruel side effect of an anxiety medication.
Oh, God, right? But also, like, on the scale of side effects, the thing is, it was a livable one, right? Like, I didn't care enough that I was like, I can live with this. But I did, actually, because I just, like... I mean, I had a boyfriend, too, and it, like, seemed just, like, terrible that even if it dried out to force him to, like, sleep in my... Like, I just always would strip it and wash it. Yeah. I had a washing machine in the building, too, so...
Oh, okay, so that makes it easier, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't, like, a huge
Yeah, I mean, I think
disaster.
if you've woken up... I mean, look, there are also different levels of night sweats.
Yeah.
If you've woken up truly drenched, yeah, you might want to change the sheets. It might just make you feel better. But I think if you don't have the time... to change them, or it's been like a more minor case. I think making the bed in the way that I described, where you air the sheets out, will help, because not only to dry them out, I mean, the sheets will dry out pretty quickly, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always a sort of an odor issue when you're talking about the night sweats, just because you've been damp, you know, and the sheets have been damp. So letting them dry and air out will help with that. Mm-hmm. And I think also probably, a little linen spray will help also. Mm-hmm. I know the last time we were here talking about linen spray, you were like very anti the idea of linen spray. You described it as being like a scented maxi pad.
Did I?
Yes, you did. You did. You were like, I don't like that.
I don't like scented things though.
Oh, okay.
In general.
All right. That's fair. So yeah, I mean, that can help. Oh, one other thing actually that's quite, well, you won't like this because you don't like scented things, but I... Mm-hmm. Like scented things. And I have grown addicted to do you know about the scent beads that you use in laundry?
Yes.
Okay. So for people who don't know, they're sort of a newish product. Downy makes them, Gain makes them. I know a bunch of other brands. I have the Downy ones. Mm-hmm. And what they are these, they're these little beads that you put into the washing machine, not into the dryer, into the washing machine. And they scent the clothes. So for me, you know, I'm not a huge fan of fabric softener.
Yeah.
To put it mildly. And so I don't use liquid fabric softener and I very rarely use dryer sheets. But that also means that I lose a lot of that wonderful scent that fabric softeners can impart. And so the beads are the scent without the softener.
Ah.
And so I'm like totally addicted to them and I love them. There is in the Downy line. So I also am thinking of this because yesterday I just got like a big package from the Tide people of like three different kinds of Tide laundry detergent and four different kinds of laundry beads and a whole stack of
this
Tide
must be
pens.
Like Christmas
and, oh my God, I'm so excited. I'll Instagram it later. And I can, like, can't wait to try all the scent beads and I don't even know which scent to try first.
Oh my God.
But the ones that I've been using are the Downy Unstoppables. And those ones specifically are designed in such a way that when you have contact with them, the heat of one's body will reactivate the scent. So even if you've washed the sheets like 4 days ago, when you sort of like get friction on them,
it re-releases
the scent. Exactly. So that might be a nice thing for people who do like the scent, who do have night sweats, are a little worried about a stale odor forming, and who don't want to be stripping the sheets all the time. Because that is a bummer. And then it also feels like, and I say this as a person who likes stripping the bed and doing laundry and remaking the bed and all that stuff, it feels like a punishment for something that's like already a punishment. You know, the night sweats
are
really grim. They're really, really grim.
It was. I got over it, though. It went away. And, you know, I didn't even change the medications. The side effect just waned.
That's so interesting.
There is hope, night sweats, people.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, weird. Who knows? It was a phase.
Yeah. Well, lucky you that you're out of it.
Yeah. Sweat Glass got over their boycott. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So, oh, wait. One more thing to say about the night sweats.
Yeah.
I just learned this weekend. I was out with some friends, and my friend John and I were talking about sheets, as we do. Actually, he was asking me about mattresses. He was like, I feel like you're a person who knows about mattresses and blah, blah, blah. So he
would interrupt you, Marine, would demand information about mattresses, but I'm going to let you do your show.
I wasn't helpful.
Oh.
I wasn't helpful. I have an older mattress. I totally need to get a new one. I'm not a mattress connoisseur.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sure, I will become one when I go on this inevitable quest to replace my mattress.
It is a quest.
It is a quest.
One does
and,
that.
But no, and when I sent him, I was like, actually, no, surprisingly, I'm not a mattress connoisseur. But what I, unsurprisingly, I'm a good sheets connoisseur, which Maureen already knows. And I let regular listeners know that I'm kind of like, I like a fine set of sheets. I like a finely made bed and a fine set
yes,
of sheets.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
I like the disposable shed of sheets because I've been traumatized by my night sweat phase. And I'm like, I would rather just be able to throw these fuckers away if anything spills.
I think that you have been traumatized by several other things.
Yeah, true, true. A lot of, like, bed traumas have occurred in the lifetime.
Yeah.
That sounds so much more grim than it should have. I just had some traumatic messes in my life.
Yes,
we'll put it that way.
Yes, you have. And I'm grateful for every one of them because they keep me in business and they're also very entertaining. So anyway, but in the course of discussing our sheets thing, so my friend was saying he also gets like the crazy night sweats. He's just a hot sleeper. And there is a difference between
hot
night
sleeper,
sweats and hot sleepers.
Sorry.
And that's all right. Yeah, hot sleeper. So he was telling me about this new brand of sheets with the absolute worst slash best name. Before I tell you the name, I'm going to tell you what the sheets are.
Okay.
Really, it's actually fascinating. I'm surprised it took this long for someone to come up with this idea. They are sheets that are made out of performance material, like the performance
sweat
material.
Sweat wicking.
Yeah, sweat wicking sheets. And he said he loves, at first he said they feel good. They don't feel like you're
like
sleeping in
diaper.
Yoga pants. And he said one of the things he really loves about them is that because of the nature of the material, when they're spread on the bed, they're perfectly unwrinkled. Ooh. So unlike cotton, which will show every wrinkle, you know, it has like a little bit of stretch to it, I think. So
would you enjoy that, Jolie, or would you kind of miss not getting to be perfect with your cotton sheets?
Oh, I'd probably miss not being perfect with my cotton sheets, yeah.
You enjoy the de-wrinkling process.
I do. Yeah.
It's ritual.
It is ritual.
Wait, but now what is it called?
I'm intrigued enough by these sheets.
Yeah, you might give it a try.
I'm going to tell you the name.
Uh-oh.
So bad. They're called Sheeks. S-H-E-E-X. Like Spanx for your bed.
Oh, God. Why?
I know, right? Cheeks. It's so bad, it's great. It's so bad, it's great. So anyway, so I think that for people, so I've heard like mixed reviews of not of Sheeks. I've only heard one review of Sheeks, and it's been a great review. But I've heard mixed reviews about this sort of trend in the past 5 or so years of sheets that bill themselves as no sweat or cooling, right? So for a while, everyone was going on about how bamboo sheets were supposed to be fabulous for keeping cool while you sleep. I had a friend who went and got them.
I had bamboo sheets once.
And he was like,
I don't remember anything special about them.
Yeah. He was like, they were no different from my cotton sheets. And now I just spent a whole lot of money on bamboo sheets that I didn't need. Great. Thanks.
I don't remember why I had bamboo sheets.
So the bamboo sheets, but on the other hand, like I want to leave room for the possibility that some people have switched to bamboo sheets and have found them very effective in staying cool at night just because one person didn't have a positive experience.
I have bamboo socks.
Oh.
Because I was told that they would breathe well and my feet would feel cool and lovely.
Do they keep your feet cool and lovely?
I notice a difference.
Yeah. I feel like this is the feedback I'm getting on all this stuff about bamboo.
But it's also the thing where I'm like, I don't have a sensitive enough meter of what's happening in my, I don't know. Like,
fair.
How can I keep track of stuff like that?
Yeah.
I've got enough on my mind. All right.
Yeah. The other thing I've heard that don't work is there are men's, cotton undershirts that are supposed to be cooling. I think Hanes or Fruit of the Loom or both, or, you know, is making these now. And I've talked to guys who have worn them, and they're like, yep, no different from the regular ones. I just paid more for them. So, let's put a call out to our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
If you have tried any of these quote unquote cooling textiles, I want to hear your experience, good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see if we can figure out what really are good and what are kind of not worth the investment.
Right.
So, From the limited anecdotal evidence I have available to me, it sounds like the bamboo thing isn't so great. Those cooling shirts, I think I haven't heard anything great about. I have heard good things about the Sheeks.
Sweat wicking. Sweat wicking stuff really works.
Yeah, the sweat wicking sheets.
Have you tried the period wicking panties?
I haven't, and I feel so very conflicted about them, and I'm really trying not to feel conflicted about them.
Yes.
I think a lot of it is that I think there's an age factor going on. I think because I'm Gen X, I'm a little bit more set in some traditional ways of thinking that I'm constantly trying to work on in a way that's different from your generation. I think
millennials are a little more open. I mean, okay, the sweat wicking stuff had an ick factor too, right? That you're like, all the sweat is in it, in this cloth, you know? Because it's like in there and then you wash it.
I don't know that I feel that same, because I don't.
But it's
worse
with a period.
I don't feel
the
same way about sweat as I do about period.
But, well, no, yeah, so that's the point. The idea that it's there is like gross.
But
apparently.
Also, it's important for all of us as women not to feel gross about our period blood.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing we should all be working on. It's not
true, but it is like an inherently like staining substance. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a way to not have huge amounts of body shame, but still just not like the idea of something that would take some serious enzymatic cleaners to get rid of.
Poop is natural, and I don't feel like positive about poop.
I don't feel any need to reduce my poop shaming tendencies.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Maureen, we should do a show about that. About we should do
poop?
A period.
I don't know if I can handle
not a poop episode. I don't want to do that either. We should do a period episode.
Maybe.
We should do a big period episode, yeah. I think we have a lot to talk about that. But before we do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I've been kind of dreading this.
Because you think I'm going to be disappointed?
I didn't make my bed all month.
Not all
month? No, not every day. I didn't
okay.
All right. Some days.
Okay. So here's what we get to do now. Don't be worried. I'm not going to be mad.
Okay.
I'm not going to be mad. And I'm not going to be disappointed. I'm genuinely really curious to hear how Maureen did in this month of March. I put the challenge to her, along with all of you, my wonderful listeners, and all of my wonderful Esquire readers, to try to make the bed every single day in March. This is a thing that I do every year. I've been doing it for 5 years now. I've heard from a lot of people on Twitter.
Yes.
Thank you all so much for all of the positive tweets and sending me the cute pictures of your beds. Aww. I really love them. I've been so tickled by how excited you've all been. Thank you for the emails. It's great. And I love doing this every year, and it's fun. I feel like every year I get a few more over on my side.
It seems kind of interesting. So, I mean, people must have interesting beds.
Maureen was a tough nut to crack because she has for a long time really been sort of a bed making denier. And so I put the challenge to her maybe a little more sternly than I did to everyone else. And so we're gonna wrap up today's episode by hearing how her experiment in bed making went. And we already know you weren't 100%er, but that's okay.
No, so I made it about like 3 days before I had a slip up day.
Okay.
And I just forgot, basically.
That's okay.
There wasn't like a rage or like a reason for it.
Okay.
I forgot. And then like the pattern was a little hit or miss about when I would remember to do it or not.
Okay.
Sometimes I'd be like halfway through the day and be like, oh shit. And I'd like go over and do it.
Okay. you would go do it in the middle of the day.
Well, yeah, because I really wanted to do it for you because
this
I wanted
so
to see
good.
If there was a change in my life.
Okay.
But here's the thing, Jolie, and I really want, because I was like, I was trying to think that I was like, I need like a reaction. But honestly, the truth is, I don't think it changed much for me.
It didn't.
But, I think it might be because there are bigger problems in the messiness of my home.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I also haven't like washed the dishes in a long time.
Okay.
Things like that.
Okay.
That in fact, but I will say, I've also been sleeping in a man's house quite a bit this month. And when I made his bed, he was so fucking impressed. And I will say, the show off quality, when I'm in my own home, I just like don't care, right? But when I was like, impress a person with my skills, I will make this bed, as I'm like rolling out of bed like 2 hours later than him, right? Like, you have to do something so you don't seem like a slob in that moment. And I will say, when you're rolling out of bed significantly later than someone else and they've been like half, you know, making that bed will make you feel better then.
That is a very good point.
Shame bed making, I am a fan of.
Okay.
Bed making to make and hide your shame.
So I knew. Success. So listeners, I have to tell you, I knew the thing about Maureen making this man's bed because we were texting in the early part of the month.
Oh, did I send you a show off picture? I can't remember.
I think you did. Yeah, but I wasn't sure if you were gonna mention it, and I didn't want to like blow up your spot if you weren't gonna mention it. But I'm glad you did, and I love that approach. Here's what I don't love though, Maureen, and I'm gonna keep working on you. Sort of more generally, all with love and no judgment. And honestly, like, I want you to do you and not feel like I'm like being like dictatorial and horrible, like may, like Martha Stewart might be. But here's the thing.
Sorry, that was rude.
That's fine.
Keep going.
Martha Stewart, P.S., is riding hoverboards in Dubai right now.
Okay, her life sounds kind of fun. Yeah. I'm going to admit that.
So, like, we do have to give a little love to Martha for that because that's
yes.
pretty cool. Although I did see it, and I was like, first of all, she was like in her like nightdress. It was an amazing photo. You guys got to go look at Martha's Instagram. It's amazing. But I also was like, Martha, don't fall and shatter.
Oh God,
hip. Yeah,
she's very spry.
She's very spry, but she's in her 70s. Like, so you know. Anyway, I also like fear for the like in-home healthcare. for tending to Martha. If she
oh my God, can you imagine being the woman who has to like clean Martha's bedpan?
That would be terrible. She would definitely have very
damn picky about that.
She would definitely have very specific instructions about how one goes about cleaning a bedpan.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It would definitely have to be polished after every cleaning. Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. I mean this gently and with love.
Uh-huh.
I worry a little bit that you treat others better than you treat yourself.
Oh, Jolie, that got deep.
I know. And I feel like it also goes back a little bit to something that we talked about the last time you were here when we started this challenge with you, which was that I said, and we both laughed over it because I said it in such like a hokey way.
Yeah.
But I acknowledge it was hokey that making the bed is a gift you give yourself, because it's not that in the moment of making the bed, that's the reward. The reward comes later in the day when you come back home from a long day of work, or you come back home after maybe a crummy date. And you walk in and things can be falling apart in your life. But when you see that made bed, it's like, oh, I got one thing right today. And that's the gift you give yourself. And then also you give yourself the gift of it feels so good to get in the made bed and all of that.
You know, and I fully respect that. And I like it, Julie. But I think I just might not be a bed making person.
Okay.
But you know what? There are other things I need to learn, like how to wash my dishes.
Well, and that's what I mean. I think, and that's and when you're saying like there are bigger problems.
The sort of like reward ratio. I'm not getting a huge amount of reward out of the bed.
Not.
But I wish I was. And I think maybe, I don't know.
I suspect I believe probably you're not getting that reward because of those other issues that
probably
that we've touched on when you've been here, you know, the dishes, and I know you like to like leave you know, clothes strewn all over the room and
I
all
have,
that.
Well,
kind of
I just
stuff,
have
so,
a really high tolerance level for mess. And this is something that I think that people like, some people just have higher mess tolerance.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't bother me, you know?
Absolutely.
So being a person with a high mess tolerance, finding the places where cleanliness like makes a difference, there just might be different points.
Yeah. And I think that's a great way to approach it, and I would encourage you to find the points that make you happy. I think for a lot of people, it's having a clean bathroom.
Yes.
For a lot of people,
having a clean tub will make me really happy.
Yeah, having
that's
a clean
true.
Tub. Well, I got to get you into that.
Let's
scrubbing
all scrub
bubbles.
Our tubs.
Yeah,
let's all scrub
our tubs. That's really good. Oh my God, I'm gonna have to have another dedicated. What should be bath month? When's bath month?
What's the bathiest month of the year?
February. Because it's grim and there's also a romantical holiday.
True, perhaps.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've
although
got
I have to say, I really think that like couples baths are so overrated. That's a whole other conversation.
They really are.
Unless you've got like a faucet up your ass. It's just like not romantic to try to take a bath together.
I feel that way about showering together. I think showering together is one of life's greatest torture methods. Like there's not.
I believe that you would be that because you're like, I have business to take care of. Things
well,
must be clean.
One, because you have business to take care of, and but also because there's always one of you that's like standing off in the corner shivering with no water. Like,
and then like you
and
really
then it's
have
like
to,
dangerous, and I'm like always afraid I'm going to slip and fall. And
you also
like,
need like a certain like height alignments to work out.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot.
There's
going
a whole
on.
Lot going on. Showering together is garbage. Showering together and sex on the beach are two garbage things.
No, but you know what? I kind of like both of those things better than the
than
dual
bed.
Bath and making my bed. No, the dual bath is the true hell, in
you
my
really
opinion.
Hate that.
We'll get into this later. Okay. Whenever we decide is going to be the scrubbing bubble month.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about it. But I do like this idea. All right. So listen, Maureen and I are going to go talk about when we're going to have bath month.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be really fun, actually. I want to say thank you for trying. Thank you for trying. Because you did try. And I know you were not keen on it. I'm not all that surprised, to be honest, that this wasn't super life-changing for you.
I was hoping to have a reaction one way or the other.
I was not as
repelled or entranced.
Yeah.
I was surprised to discover that I could be a person who makes my bed. But that bed making just still isn't high on my priority list.
Okay. And that's okay.
Interesting. Discovery.
Yeah.
Wait, are we out of time? Do we still have time?
No, we still have time.
For the disaster that happened last night?
That's right. You had a
I woke up. It was amazing.
First of all, the bookends of this month, that you had a disaster at the beginning of the month right before coming to see me. And now you have another disaster at the end of it.
The gods of chaos are just like, they're smiling on you and cursing me.
And yet, magic.
So what happened was I was sleeping in this man's home.
Okay.
Of the bed that I made.
Okay.
And at some point in the night, I was like fumbling around, and I was like, what? Why? And like, I go to get my pants that are like lying on the floor, and I realize that they're like wet. And I'm like, what happened to my pants? Did I spill something? Wait, what, the cat was over there? The cat peed on my pants.
Oh!
And then I was like, no, but I have to get up in the morning and go
that
see Jolie.
Asshole.
And so then I was like, is there some way to wash the pants speed overnight, but then they have to dry, so I'm ready. And ultimately, and then there was actually a moment when in a sleepy stupor, the phrase enzymatic cleaner was uttered.
God bless you.
There was
you,
discussion
Maureen.
Of
I love you.
Is there any Nature's Miracle? Are you mm-hmm. aware of this product?
Yes.
He brought that up, that he's like, I don't have any Nature's Miracle right now. And like, what do we do? So there was like, in fact, as perhaps a gentleman would when his cat pees in a lady's pair of pants, he washed them himself.
Oh my gosh.
But then like left them out to dry. But then the problem was like, he's like, you could theoretically like soak them overnight to make sure the scent is gone.
Yeah.
But then I have to wear them because how am I going to get anywhere home?
Yeah.
So in fact, there was like a clean and then like a drying process, but then I just like wasn't, I didn't know what to do. And then we like, I had to stop by my house to go switch pants and stuff after wearing like the pee pants home. It was kind of difficult. What is the optimal, what is the cat pee removal process?
I mean,
optimally?
I think you did the right thing. First of all, I want to say like, what, that cat is such a jerk.
I know, right?
The most cat-like thing ever. And the cat definitely did it on purpose, specifically to your pants, because the cat
fucking screw with me.
No, the cat's jealous of you because you're in the...
It's getting really intimate.
Is it a male cat?
It's
or
a male cat. Or maybe the male cat wants to be my boyfriend.
Maybe. Yeah, no, I mean, the cat's just letting you know who's boss.
Yeah.
That's what the cat was doing. And I mean, hey, good for the cat.
Bad for me.
Bad for you. Go,
so what's... What
I don't
is
know,
the
go
quickest...
pee on the cat. Go pee on the cat.
So what is the
okay, so
best
I think,
cat pee
I mean, I
smell
think
removal?
I think you did the right thing. I think the Nature's Miracle is the right thing. Or just like, I mean,
if you don't have any Nature's Miracle on hand, what's the best?
Oh, place? I mean, yeah, just washing them right away, mm-hmm. especially because it was fresh,
mm-hmm.
I think was probably the right thing to have done. Yeah.
So now those pants, can I just throw them in the regular laundry, or
yeah.
do they need special treatment?
No,
they're
fine.
I
mean, I would just check them and make sure there's no like staining.
If they're black pants.
Oh, then yeah, it should be fine. Yeah,
all right,
it should be
good,
fine.
Good.
If there's like a very strong like remaining odor, you
yeah.
might want to...
What then, Oxy?
You know, Oxy isn't super, super... Sorry, this is super, super
is
great on... Maureen and I are kicking each other. You guys can't see it. it's not always the best on odors. They do have like an odor neutralizing mm-hmm. Oxy. Borax is pretty good on odors. But honestly, I think if you just get... one of the detergents with like an odor booster,
uh-huh.
Like a sports detergent or something like that.
Okay.
Would be fine. Yeah.
Cool.
But to be honest, probably just straight washing is going to do the trick.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Good.
I just use cold water.
Mm-hmm.
Dry on lower heat.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause sometimes if there's like a remaining odor after the wash, the heat, which I talk about a lot with gym clothes, like the heat
oh, yeah.
can kind of like amplify lingering
oh, really?
Odors. So lower heat dry. That's what
okay.
I would do.
All right. Why cold water?
Same thing. Heat.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just don't want to.
Huh.
And also they're black. If they're black pants.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to wash them hot anyways.
On hot. Yeah. So yeah, I think you should be fine. I'm glad you, thank you for not showing up in pee pants.
Oh my God. Yeah. I like had to, or yeah, in the morning when I was like, is there extra time to nap? No, because I've got to go get rid of these pee pants.
I like that you call it napping in the morning.
I do nap in the mornings. I nap all day
you
long.
Nap all day long.
I know, that cat just thought I was like one of his kin. And
probably,
he was like.
Probably. All right. Well, on that note, I want to say a huge thank you to my guest today, New York Magazine's Maureen O'Connor. Thank you so much for taking this challenge, for humoring me, for being such
yes.
a good sport about it.
I'm learning. I can make beds is what I discovered. I didn't know.
I'm sorry that it wasn't life-changing for you. For those of you out there who have tried it and for whom it is life-changing, I'm so thrilled to know that.
And I'm inspired by that, too. I think there is something in my life that can be as...
That's
going to
be
as
life-changing.
Bed making.
Yeah. And we're going to find
that one
it.
Isn't the one for me, because I think we need to get like real basic with me.
Yeah, we're going to find it. We're going to find it. If you made your bed this month, please let me know. I'd love to hear how you did with that. If Also, if you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing on Acast or iTunes, leaving a rating and telling your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so very much. And of course, thank you to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Yay!
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.